Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. This show is named Native American Affairs, and I give you the host right now of Native American Affairs. He will tell you more about his radio show and what he plans to accomplish regarding making announcements, making
man,
it
woman,
easier for all of us to understand what it is to be a Native American in this country in the 21st century, what problems remain, what has been gained, what has been lost. These are the subjects of Native American Affairs, and I will give you your...
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, those are the subjects for Native American Affairs. We don't have a current host, so today we will hear from one of our past speakers. His name is Shanupa Money. You won't be able to call in and speak with anyone today, but I hope you'll enjoy the presentation. My name is Mary Neal. I'm Director of Human Rights Demand, and I thank you for joining us.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. This show is named Native American Affairs. And I give you the host right now of Native American Affairs. He will tell you more about his radio show and what he plans to accomplish regarding making announcements, making
man,
it easier
woman, child,
for all of us to understand what it is to be a Native American in this country in the 21st century, what problems remain. What has been gained? What has been lost? These are the subjects of Native American Affairs, and I will give you your host to this show right now. He is of the Lakota Nation. Is that right, sir?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely. And if you will introduce yourself and tell about your show and what your mission is regarding this show, we will be so pleased to welcome you, and we thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. This is Shanupa Gluha Money with the Strongheart Warrior Society of South Dakota. I'm a Lakota, and I'm a fluent speaker of my culture and language. Today's show is going to be vested upon our identity, our belief system in freedom, and most of all, asserting our independence to give us the ability to exercise our sovereignty in its full capacity. And today's show is dedicated to many of the brothers and sisters in this country that have the opportunity to really look at the problems happening to them at the discretion of the American government. And so, without further ado, a majority of our people that are listening, we want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to share the understanding of a truthful message from a people still protecting and preserving its belief system of independence. Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, I want to start
off
with...
Can I just interject? Sir, could I just interject?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead, ma'am.
I just want to give the phone number so that other people know that after your host presentation, they're able to call in and dialogue with you, ask comments. And the phone number is 347-857-3293. Again, you're welcome to call in with questions and comments. And the telephone number is 347-857-3293. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, first of all, what I wanted to start off with is that when I focus on the opportunities of people's belief system, I want everyone in the listening audience to take a full understanding into what today's topic is going to be talking about. Number one, we're going to talk about the belief system and freedom and how the importance of our independence is as a nation known as Lakota. And when you have those two basic, you know, elements in your life as a natural substance through natural law, this is how sovereignty works. And so I got a majority of my brothers with me with the Strongheart Warrior Society as hosts too on today's show. So I'm going to give them all a chance to introduce themselves and, you know, give them the microphone to start off on where they want to elaborate. So, Miss, take it away.
Thank you, Chinupa. My name is Mitch. I'm here in Modesto, California. kind of threw me under the bus here. I just want to thank Chinupa, though, for allowing us to come on with him. He's out here in California with us because he helped us, helping us with the struggle that we're having out here. You know, and that's what we're trying to do out here in California, stand up for our rights and our sovereignty as Indian people. We're trying to break the stereotypes and things like that that people have towards Indian people. So I want to pass it on to Herman.
Hello, my name is Herman Janice. Chinupa's my uncle, my dad's brother. Learning a lot from him, coming on these road trips with him. I just like to say a shout out to him for teaching me a lot about my culture. About life, putting me on the right path. I'd like to say a shout out to my mom. She's a strong woman. She has 12 kids. Her and my dad always kept them together. And I just really appreciate being here and being part of this and learning and getting back into my old ways. And
hello. Thank you for having us on your show today. I just want to thank my brother Chinupa Hermes, his sister, her boy, for coming out, and it's been a real honor to meet them. My name is Sonny Ghost, and I'll tell you a little story about what's going on in my life. I was adopted out at age 2, and it was a closed adoption, which means that it goes to the court, and the court seal it. So knowing my whole life that I was Native American, because they didn't hide that from me. It's kind of hard to hide your Native American features, you know. And everybody looked at you, you're the Indian boy, you know. And so my whole life I was told, you know, and I struggled with a few things that were going on in my life. I struggled with abandonment. I have abandonment issues. I was molested as a kid by my cousin, my adopted dad's brothers and brothers, my dad's nephew, pretty much. His name is Mike Aguilar. Not to put him on blast or anything, but his name is Mike Aguilar. It was a bad thing, you know. The thing that was going on with that particular incident, like here I am, an adopted boy, and I'm told not to tell because I'm gonna be given to a new family, and I'm not gonna be welcomed as a part of the family again, you know. And for a boy to go through this, like, you know, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard. I was kind of, I had a lot of fear, and my dad, he got me into sports and stuff, although he didn't know anything about soccer. Or football, whatever you want to call it. So, but his thing was baseball. He got me into baseball, and I became good at it. You know, my dad was a provider. He worked for the U.S. Postal Service after Ford shut down here in California. And he drank. My father drank, and I remember sometimes he would come home, or sometimes he wouldn't come home. And my mother, my poor mother, she'd go all out and make this tremendous, wonderful meal. And I used to just love watching her cook, you know, the smells of it. And although, you know, I would say that home was okay, you know. I portrayed myself like as a good kid, you know, when other people were around. And sometimes I didn't. And I gave my mom hell. I just know that, you know. We began to bond after I put her through some tremendous, you know, trials, and finally she broke down and cried, and I felt bad. And so the bond that I had with my mother, I didn't call her my mother because I came to a part of my life where when I was 18, I went to go to the adoption agency right there in Santa Clara, California, and I found out that my birth mother tried to contact me. She left a letter, and that's how I contacted her. But the adoption in my life, the abandonment, all those issues, like, I felt, like, distant. And, you know, when I finally did meet her, I met my half-brother, half-sister. And sure enough, they took me, we drove to South Dakota, Rapid City is where she lived, and I got to see the Pine Ridge Reservation. And, you know, one of the things that I was upset about was while over there, we went to this museum, and they were talking about, because it's two country, you know, and one of the things that I seen was that the two people, we had instruments, like 100 instruments, and I was like, and I couldn't see these instruments, nor could I hear them, and there was a sign there, and it said that 100 instruments were going to be donated to the Smithsonian. And how that went about, you know, I love music. I love music, and I love to hear music. And when you hear the Sioux sing, it's like music. You know, it's like music to my ears. And it goes a little deeper. Last night after we sweat here in California, and it's a different sweat from back home in South Dakota, you know. And this is my understanding. And the sweats, the songs here are, there are songs from South Dakota, but you know, when Chinupa, when he sings the song to me, and I sit down and I'm listening to him, I can understand it, you know. But when the other songs are singing, when they're saying, I don't understand them. Like, they don't sound the same. They don't sound, you know, and it's just kind of like AA. It's being watered down. So, I've fought with those issues my whole life. And so, you know, I got together with Red Nations, with Mitch. I met him at a park, at a barbecue. And I heard him. He was driving by with, and I heard him. I heard the songs playing on his radio, and I walked up to that brother. And I said, "Hey, man, what's up, man?" And so you know, we was popping it up. We started talking, and you know, we got together and we hanged out, you know, and we went to go sweat, and he didn't know what he was getting himself into. Nor did I, you know, and I'm over here thinking that it's you know, and, but now that I see it, I'm like, wow, like it's just kind of, been commercialized, you know, and you know, part of me losing that part of my entity, you know, I want that back, and I kind of feel ripped off, you know. I feel, and what I'm learning is this cultural genocide, you know. In California, we have this thing called identity theft. You know, I want my identity back, and I gotta go jump through hoops, and you know what? And it pisses me off, and I can't even say the words that I want to use, you know, because it's just not. It doesn't explain nor express how I feel inside. You know, one of the things that when I went and tried to contact the Lakota over there at Pine Ridge, I spoke to this lady by the name of Joan Decca, and she sent me some papers from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and when I met my mother, she said that she had worked for them for a little bit. I don't know what she did or what, but I haven't talked to her or spoke to her in over 15 years, and finally, when I did talk to her to let her know that I had a daughter, she has also another daughter from my half-brother, whom we look alike, which is kind of trippy. You know, it's like me looking in the mirror. But so to get back to the story, they sent me a copy that says that they need my original birth certificate, and they said they need my original birth certificate and that I have an amended birth certificate. And so I'm like, well, if they need my amended birth certificate, then they got my original birth certificate, and I want it back. You know, I can't even begin to tell you, you know, the things that I've done in my life and the consequences that I suffered for those things, you know. It's kind of hard to understand when you're not in my shoes. And going to college, like I go to college and I go to this college and I sign up and I'm afraid, you know, and I'm not gonna say I'm tough or anything, because I've seen a lot of shit, you know, especially with all the drugs and the alcohol in this county, this, you know, the state, the country. You know, you put on TV and you see Budweiser horses running across the screen, you know, and the history, you know, prohibition, you know, that the whole thing about, you know, how the government was, you know, how they taxed it and collected this money and put a specific, you know, SWAT team or whatever, you know, and the gangster, you know. Before that, there was a war against the Indians. And where we had bows, and we still have bows today, you know. And you watch it on Dukes of Hazzard, and, you know, it just goes to show you what those bows can do, you know. But they can kill bears too, you know. And not to make a long story short, I don't want to cuss on your show, but I'm pretty messed up, you know. But I know that I'm not crawling today, you know, and I don't have to go and drink, and I don't have to go and use. So my mindset's kind of like just like man, I've been like all this time, I've been missing, you know, I've been missing and then not even like realizing that I'm still missing, but here I am, you know.
Let me ask you: were you removed from your mother's care by the government, or did she give you up?
You know, I'm not even, to be exactly sure, because of the whole BIA thing. Like, when I went to the BIA, they gave me this, like, the whole thing with the documents of having the original birth certificate. Like, they have my original birth certificate, you know, so it seemed like they were hiding something. Like, they wanted my amended birth certificate. Like, who wants a broken birth certificate? You know what I'm saying? I know what amend means. When I break my arm's broken. You know, when I mended
did you,
up.
Did you get
you know,
a chance to meet your mother? You said that she had tried to contact you and there was a letter from her in your file. Did you ever get to meet her and your had brothers and sisters?
I did meet her. You know, I did meet her. And those times, like the times when drugs and alcohol came about, you know, like I said, it's been out a long time, and it was something that was brought here. You know, Native Americans, we've been here this whole time. And this stuff has been, it's been brought over here, and it's been tearing our families apart. And I'm a prime example of that. You know.
I know. I read that 35% of the Native American children had been removed from their families and reservations by 1972. The U.S. Senate did a study on it in 1972, and the rate of removal was at 35%, and it continues today. Whenever Native Americans, I am usually told that some children have been taken from their family's custody. And so I just wondered whether you were forcibly removed or whether your mother intentionally gave you up. She didn't tell you how you got removed from the family?
No, you know, my answer to you is I was forced because I'm a human being. I'm a person. And you know, that it's hard to talk about, you know.
Yes. And so you were given to a Caucasian, a Euro family to raise you?
No, I was given to an Hispanic family.
You were given to a Hispanic family to raise you?
Right. Yes.
And you love your Hispanic mother and Hispanic father, but you would prefer
yes.
to have been raised with your people, the Lakota people.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes. That is pretty so. And you know what? To see, like, the struggle, like, my parents, they taught me, like, they tried to teach me the value of the dollar, and still to this day, I really don't, you know, I still don't understand it. I'm not that good with money. You know, I really don't care about it, and I see what it does to people. I see people with a lot of money, and they're not happy. You know, I see them in the, I go in and stop in at these meetings, you know, these brother and sister meetings that, you know, and they're meetings with, you know, people with this disease of alcoholism and drug addiction. And, you know, it's like, it's just like another hustle. And, but like the value of family, like, you know, you see these families and they stick together. And that's always nice to see, you know. But like a Native American like myself, like you know, I've been so apart. It was like how the story that I heard that my mother told me was her quadriplegic sister. Her sister got in a car accident. Now I don't know if she was obviously she wasn't like that, you know. Something had happened to her. So, you know. If you look through the history, you know, the history that the American writes about our people, and there's a lot of stuff that they leave out, you know. And one of those things is that, you know, we've been attacked. We're being attacked from every way. And it's like, you know, I can only say, and I speak for myself, but before recently, I didn't know a lot of brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? I felt alone. And so with
so
a mindset like that.
So how old are you now? What's your age now?
I'm 39. I'll be 39 this year.
And so you knew you were adopted the whole while, and you got in touch with the adoption agency, and you found out who your real mother and family were when you were how old, 18?
I was 18, yes.
Okay. And so now, do you live with the Lakota people?
I stay here, right here in Turlock, California, hometown of Kaepernick, the 49ers.
Okay.
I sound like good to my Indian bro because he likes the Dallas Cowboys.
So you are you have had an opportunity now to meet Native American brothers and sisters and to learn something of your real culture. Is that right?
It's something that I've been praying about. So I can only speak of these things about the supernatural power of prayer. You know.
Absolutely. I can attest to that. Well, I'm glad that you were able to reunite, so to speak, with your mother and your half-brothers and sisters and know who they are, know who you look like. And what kind of change did that make in your life when you were able to actually know who your people were? Did that change your life in any way?
Yeah, let me go. I just want to say something real quick.
Okay.
Because the life that I was given. Okay, as a prime example, living and being brought up, like my parents, they lived in the fields. They grew up in the fields. Okay, and my father used to sell produce like the flea markets. And, you know, and then they have the canary workers and stuff like that. Like, and so, you know, being brought up Hispanic, like, you know, that we had our struggles too, you know. And because of a part, you know, I'm half Lakota, half Hispanic, okay. So part of it, when I spoke to my mother, she said that she asked for me to be in a Hispanic family. You know, and for whatever reason, and Catholic, for whatever reason, I have no idea, because when I go to Catholic church, it's super boring. Like, you know, they tell me, you know, walk in, you know, put the splash of water in your face, and do this the thing with your hand, and then get on one knee and, you know, do one knee and then up and then down. And then you sit down and you sing these slow songs and the guy's, he's talking like this, like, hello, people, you know, we are gathered here today. Like, and it's super boring, like a monotone. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm a kid and I can't sit to this, you know. And I still go in there and I'm sitting here and I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I here? And but
so do
you know,
enjoy the religious ceremonies of the Native Americans better?
Oh man, the ceremonies are bad. I get a good kick out of it. I you know, the Native Americans know how to get down. I tell you that. You know, our ceremonies are nothing but a song, dance, prayer. You know, they're alive. The colors of all the regalia and just seeing the people with the smiles and the hot sun just gleaming off the foreheads, and man, it's bad. It's super bad. It's.
So you enjoy the culture of the Native Americans. Whereas you felt like something was missing in your Spanish background, in your Spanish household where you were raised. And now you're reunited with your Native American brothers and sisters, and you feel more at home with the culture and with the religious ceremonies, and everything is more to your, it seems to appeal to your spirit more. Is that right?
Yes. I believe everybody has everything, and everybody has a spirit.
Yes.
I believe that. And culture to me, like, I'm not very educated. Okay, like I said, I got a truck driver's license, and that was big for me. You know, I was riding a bike just the other day. You know, these guys ran me down, took my license. I didn't get it back for a year. And this motorcycle cop, you know, he pulled me over for not having a seatbelt, you know, which I think is BS, you know. Took my license away. And then, so I got my truck driver's license. And then, you know, that thing's bigger than I am. And here I am driving it, you know. And that's just how life started. Life, you know, when I got off drugs and alcohol, like, everything just started. I started looking at it in a different view, you know. I grew up, you know, and it was like all this stuff that was going on in my life, like, you know, I started working steps, and I worked baby steps to achieving these things, and I got a lot of support, you know, a lot of support and help, I got sober in a sober home, and I ran into this guy. He was Blackfoot. He was a big old dude, and I remember he jammed me up on the side of the house. And I remember, I think of it like when I was a kid, I used to sharpen these popsicle sticks when I was mad, and I would pretend like there were knives, and I was gonna, you know, hurt somebody. And you know, I witnessed violence around the house, you know, with drinking and stuff, and it pissed me off, you know, and I was abused, you know. I remember times, and I'm not saying all the times, and I'm not saying that I didn't deserve it sometimes, but you know, when you go to school the next day and you're called, and the teacher says, oh, hell no, and you know, and she's a little black woman, and she's like about 5 feet tall, and she's jumping up, oh, hell no, you know, that kind of, you know, that was like, this is a, I can't even remember her name. This is an Evergreen Elementary School in San Jose. And she called my dad in, and she talked to my dad outside. And I could just remember, you know, and that belt had holes in it. And you know, my ass had dots on it, you know. We put the two together. You know, so I forgot what we're talking about. What'd you ask me?
Well, I was wondering. It seems to me from listening to your dialogue that you felt blessed to know finally where you belonged, who you were. A Lakota Indian. You were raised by Spanish people from age 2.
Okay.
And then at age 18,
even Spanish people,
you found your real family.
Yeah. Even being Hispanic, you know, Mexican, like, you know, it's even hard to be Mexican, you know. So I can understand of all people of all colors and you know, how hard it is to be, you know. Well, hell, you know, about my dad, you know, I couldn't wait till I got big, you know, and I thought a man was somebody to stand up and not allow stuff to happen, like, you know, a man, like, I got to tell you, you know, these things come back, and you know, the abuse that was taken on me, like, it came back, you know. And today, me and my dad,
you suffered abuse from your stepfather, from your adopted father.
You know, he was a good man. He was a good man, but you know, when I got bigger, I got into wrestling. My uncle, he got me into wrestling. You know, and I started wrestling when I was like 6 years old. And so I got in my first fight. My dad didn't teach me how to fight. He taught me how to walk away. And my other cousin, my he's like my blood brother, we used to fight all the time, you know. And then in school,
I got in a fight and I got my ass whipped. You know, bloody nose, two black eyes, and I got suspended. And I didn't even fight back. I got suspended, which was, you know, there was nothing wrong with that guy. You know, I didn't even get a punch in. And you look at me and I'm all messed up, you know. So I think that principal did me a favor. So, you know, I don't look, you know, like everybody's just looking at me. Dang, you got your ass kicked, you know. But these things happen, you know. So, I mean, one of the things that I learned in high school, you know, I learned how to wrestle and stuff. So, yeah, the abuse stopped somewhere. You know, I remember wrestling with my dad a couple of times, and he was drunk, and he wanted a piece of me, you know. I gave him a couple of black eyes. I didn't mean to, you know, but it shit happens. And so.
Well, did your mother and father, your adopted mother and father, did they have any other children?
You know, I have adopted sister, and she's really screwed up. You know, she's like a mixed breed of all kinds of races. She's like a Italian, black, you know, I don't know, maybe even Puerto Rican. And her mom gave her up because I don't know if she was on drugs, but I just know for us babies that came from a drug addiction, mothers and that were out using, even the fathers that are out using, and you know they're having, you know, multiple women having sex and having babies, and like those babies, like, you know, they come out and they come out mad, you know, we're mad because they, you know, growing up and learning, we don't learn fast. I'm a slow learner, you know, and it takes me a lot harder. You know, me and my friend, he would learn at a rate, and it takes me like three times, four times, five times to read what it was actually saying. So, you know, I'm a slow learner, and it takes me a lot longer, you know. So I don't know if you can relate to that, but.
Yes, I understand not getting something quickly. I understand.
Yeah,
when all the kids are
out playing, like I was at home doing my homework, you know. And by the time I got done, it was late. So, you know, and this is like in second grade, third grade, fourth grade, you know, fifth grade. And the more the higher education I got,
did you graduate from high school?
I did graduate from high school.
Wonderful. What, are you employed now?
I was working for this company, California Truss and Frame. And, in fact, it got slow for a minute. It started raining. It got slow. And they gave me a phone. And it's been like a month or so. And they're supposed to call me, and I haven't had word from them. I just got my daughter back. Her mother tried to run off with her to Texas, and I filed some papers and got my daughter back. So I do.
How old
I have full
is your
custody.
Daughter?
She's 6 years old.
And so
she's,
now you have custody of her.
Yeah, I have custody of her. She's like the apple of my eye. You know what I mean? She's just like. I couldn't walk away from her, you know. There was just no way that I'm going to allow this woman to drill off on my kid in the condition that she was, you know.
Was she on drugs?
I'm not allowed to say that, but all I can say is that she wasn't in the right mind.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, is that your only child?
Yes, it is my only child. I was afraid, I was late in the game. I was afraid. I was afraid to have kids because my drinking career started when I was like 6 years old, and it was kind of messed up. I grew up real quick, and you know, the first thing that I seen was myself hanging from the rafters. So, I mean, if that's not a suicidal thought, then I don't know what is.
you know, but my own thoughts was like, man, like this is what it's like to be an adult. Like, this shit sucks. Why even live, you know? And so I had a hard time, you know. I had a hard time dealing with that kind of behavior.
How long have you been living clean now of alcohol and drugs?
You know, I've been chipping at this thing for like the last 10 years, and I can honestly say that I have 8 months. What's today? 8 months and 15 days. But I had just relapsed off from coming from like 2 years, and I mean, I know people with 20 years and gone out, you know. All this stuff that they think they know, like, you know, I don't know shit about shit, but, you know, all I can say is, well, all I can say is, life's a struggle sometimes.
Life is a struggle. And we want to let you know that we appreciate you're coming on Human Rights Demand, Native American Affairs, and talking to us from the perspective of one of the Native American children who was removed from your family for whatever reason and adopted out to another family. I thank you for talking to us about your sense of estrangement, feeling like you didn't quite fit in, feeling like you were different, having trouble with your cousins picking on you because you were different. And then when you found your Native American clan, you related better to the music, you related better to the culture, and you found brothers and sisters among the Lakota people that you found that you enjoyed. It had been a struggle for you growing up, and even after you became an adult, you know, you had some struggles with drug and alcohol, but now you have your daughter with you, and we wish you all the best. We hope that you are able to always keep it together now for your daughter and for yourself. We understand that you have been victimized by the system. And we wish you well. We're almost out of time. I'll give you the last word to wrap up.
Thank you.
You have a few seconds to say whatever you'd like to say.
Yes. I would just like to say that this bureaucracy that we live in, like, you know, it's time to open our eyes and you know, like, all these rules and, you know, like, this document, you know, the Declaration of Independence, you know, I voted this year and I don't even know why I voted, but I just did, you know what I mean? Because in reality, none of it, like, really matters. So it's time to wake up, America, or, you know, and more or less, I just want to speak to my native brothers, like, I just want to say, hey, that's all I had, you know. I just want to thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and giving your perspective. I don't know if your friend whose show it is still available, but I want to let everyone know. Hello?
Yes.
We'll be back on the air next Wednesday at 3:30 for another episode of Native American Affairs. And we thank you for joining us. And I hope you tune in tomorrow when we have Bob Darby, who is an advocate for the homeless mentally ill, at 3:00 p.m.
Okay.
God bless.